welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Chilean writer Isabel Allende announced her retirement 2 years ago, and here she is with a new book, a murder mystery. Ripper is Allende's first foray into the thriller genre. The novel takes place in San Francisco and centers on Amanda, a teen sleuth hooked on crime novels and an online game called Ripper. When a rash of killings strikes the city and her mother disappears, Amanda takes it upon herself to investigate and is drawn into a dangerous mystery. Isabel Allende is the author of 20 books, including The House of Spirits and City of the Beasts, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her back to The Book Show. Thank you so much for spending time with us. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you for having me in your program.
A delight. So you announced your retirement, and then how soon after that announcement did the pressure start to get you writing again?
Well, almost immediately, my agent panicked. I think that I support the agency because she just panicked. I said, no, you have to write a book with your husband. And my husband writes mysteries. So it was only natural that I would try to write in his genre. I'm not a reader of mysteries, so I knew very little about the genre. He helped me a little, but I also attended a mystery writers conference, and that helped a lot. You know, it's fun to kill people, even if it's in the mind. Everybody wants to kill somebody sometime in their lives.
So when the idea first came about of working with your husband, was the idea to write a novel with him?
Yeah, the idea was to write a mystery with him, but it didn't work. We ended up fighting like dogs. And he writes in English. He has a completely different, let's say, work ethic. And I write many hours, and I write in Spanish. He writes in English, so it would have been impossible.
And you found that very early on, that
yeah.
You learned that very
early. As we were in each other's throats, we found out that, I mean, marriage is hard enough, let alone when you are working together.
So you say, okay, and you take these seminars and courses and look into a genre that I assume you were interested in, but something that you had never written before.
I wasn't particularly interested because I don't read thrillers. But when I was writing, when I decided to write this one, it was 2012. And the thrillers that everybody was reading at the time was The Millennium. And so I started reading Stieg Larsson and then Joe Nesbø, I mean, the Scandinavians. And I realized I can't write that kind of book. It's just too dark and too violent for my style. I don't see life that way, in that color. So I said, okay, I'll write one of my novels with my characters and the stuff that I care for, with a few corpses here and there. And that's what I did.
The character of Amanda comes from your granddaughter, is that correct?
Yeah, I have a granddaughter who at that age, 15, 16, 17, she was pretty much like Amanda, withdrawn, very much into games, into fantasy, into a virtual world with a hood. She even looks like Amanda. And so, and she was the one who introduced me to the play, to the role-playing games. I had no idea that existed. I saw her playing alone in the kitchen, and she explained she wasn't alone. She was playing with other people online. And she allowed me to participate in the game, and that's how I came up with the idea of a group of five kids and a grandfather who get together to play online this Ripper game that my granddaughter was playing. And it's about catching Jack the Ripper in London in 1888. And each one of the players creates an alter ego or a character that represents them. And according to their skills and limitations, they play the game with a game master. In this case, the game master was Andrea, so I could see what her job was. And so I thought, well, if a bunch of kids playing with no moral, ethical, or bureaucratic restrictions are investigating the crimes, they would go one step ahead of the police. And so that's the whole point of the book.
And you wanted to keep it contemporary and not make it the Jack the Ripper story, but keep it contemporary and keep it in San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco 2012. The book happens as I was writing it, day by day.
You mentioned a moment ago that your granddaughter even looks like Amanda, to indicate really that the character came first, which is interesting to me. And you created this character. So it was by design that you created her that way.
Well, it's so easy when you have a model. I had also a model for the healer, for Indiana Jackson, who is Amanda's mother, one of the victims in this case. A healer that I know, a wonderful young witch that I used in the book. Then I got the model for the soldier in a very generous Navy SEAL who was willing to talk to me. They're very secretive, you know, but he was willing to talk to me, and that helped me create the character. I don't think I could have done it otherwise.
The characters that you have created, you mentioned Ryan, who is the former Navy SEAL, and whether it be Amanda or Alan or these characters, they're all, they're very eclectic. And I guess this is somewhat typical of the gaming world, isn't it, of people bringing in people from all walks of life.
Yes, but it's also very typical of San Francisco. I live in this wonderful city of diversity, and everybody's a little crazy. It's funny because everybody accuses me of magical realism, but I live in San Francisco where everybody's into some kind of psychic stuff, astrology or healing or herbs or crystals. That's not called magic realism in San Francisco, only when it happens in Latin America.
And did you understand that right away upon moving to San Francisco, or did that come over time?
Well, it was a surprise when I got there. I wasn't planning to stay in San Francisco. I was just passing by on a book tour. And I met a guy, and I just liked him, and I decided to spend a week with him without invitation. He was horrified when he saw this Latino woman dumped on his lap. And well, eventually we married because I needed a visa, and we've been married for 26 years.
There
Not
you.
Bad, huh?
No, and you have a lovely relationship.
Yeah, well, and I have the pleasure of living in that incredible place.
In San Francisco.
San Francisco is a character for any novel, but especially for mysteries. It's been so forever.
Why do you think that is? Is it because there is a mystery in
the fog? It's the fog.
It's the fog.
Yeah, like London. I mean, if you have fog, you have scoundrels and you have assassins and you have all the stuff you need.
Because you have things going on at a different level that we can see.
Mm-hmm. There's something very mysterious about that. But also, it's a city of diversity, beautiful. You have neighborhoods that are very typical, the Italian neighborhood of North Beach. There is all the mission with all the Latinos. It's a city where you have all the languages, all the ethnicities. Everything is very inclusive, I would say. Everything is tolerated, except intolerance.
Amanda is a very natural-born sleuth, really. She has this great interest in this game, and she reads a lot of crime novels.
And she has a big mind.
And a lot to think about.
She's a brainy girl, and she doesn't have many friends. She's very awkward socially, and she lives in, like Andrea did, in this kind of virtual world. Her best friend is her grandfather. And what I like the most in the book is first the dog. I always like dogs better than people. And the relationship of the grandfather with the granddaughter.
And her grandfather plays the online game Ripper with her.
Yeah, he's supposed to be her henchman. And so his role is to obey her orders. And there are many things that she can't do because she's in a boarding school for girls. And she can't investigate herself. She can't go to the police or watch an autopsy or talk to the suspects. So all that the grandfather does. And he reports to her. And then she and the other players come up with possible solutions.
Isabel Allende is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the new novel is Ripper. I'm interested that when you went to the mystery writing seminar and you looked into this, what do you feel you had to learn? Is it everything? Yes, is it everything?
I had to learn everything, Joe. Of course, I had to everything because, first of all, I'm not familiar with the genre. I didn't know anything about guns, poison, police protocol, forensic stuff. I didn't even know how to plan a mystery. There I learned that it is really a contract between the reader and the author. The author has the obligation to present a story and plant all the clues, and at the same time distract the reader so he or she won't see the clues. And let's see if the reader guesses who the villain is at the end. So it's a very, you have to create suspense. It's very formulaic in a way, but also within that formula, you can do anything you want.
So contrast that to writing another one of your novels, where when it comes to the mystery component, and certainly this is a very complex story, it's a complex mystery, so you have to figure that all out beforehand. And so how does that contrast to writing one of your previous novels?
Well, I never plan ahead. I just sit down and slowly the book, somehow the story unfolds, the characters talk to me. And in a mystery, my husband, who writes mysteries, said, you have to have everything planned. You can't just go there and sit down and just write. You have to plan it. But I can't work like that. My brain is not linear. It goes in circles. So, of course, I waste a lot of time and I work more than most people do. But with my form of writing, which is very chaotic, I was able to do it. And at the end of the book, when I felt that there were clues that I needed, I just introduced them at the end.
I find that fascinating because the plotting is very it's tightly plotted, and you get this complex ring going into the end. And it seems very much like you knew where you were going or where you were headed.
Well, I didn't. I didn't, my dear. But, you know, when I wrote The House of the Spirits, it's a very long book. It's 70 years of history of a family and a country with, I don't know, hundreds of characters. I had no idea where I was going. And when the book was finished, my son, Nicolas, who is the brainy one in the family, read the manuscript. He was a kid then. He read the book and he said, Mother, you have here people who haven't aged. 70 years have gone by and they are still 18. So he drew a sort of map on the wall where he had columns with the characters and the dates so that I could see the development of the characters. That's how not organized I am. How, I don't know, I just write by instinct in a very organic way.
Is it in that organic way? So when you went and you were learning about the genre and you were learning about the tool belt, if you will, of things that you could use in the writing of a mystery and the writing of a thriller, did you want to make sure that fit into your pattern of writing, or were you willing to say, I want to do something completely different?
I said, I want to do something completely different, but anybody who has read the book recognizes me in the first page.
Right.
So the voice is there, and the I'm always interested in relationships more than in the plot. And in this book, although the plot is essential in a crime novel, it's relationships that matter the most. And I think that the reader that is used to read mysteries will feel a little lost because the clues are in the relationships.
I ask this question a lot to mystery writers, and that is to give us some sense of why they think audiences enjoy this genre. And I ask you because you're not a particular fan of it.
I think it's a safe reading. It's like romance novels. You just know that the author will give you an adventurous story within safe limits. You are not going to end with the villain triumph over justice. The villain eventually will be punished. In a romance novel, there's always a happy ending. At some point, they will have sex, I suppose. I don't read many of those either. But but people feel safe in that kind of reading.
And what about for the writer? Did you feel safe?
No, because I didn't know. I had no idea what I was doing. So I was not feeling very safe. But now I have that I've been around for already 10 days promoting the book, first in Spain and now here in the States, I get the feedback of people who have read it. And now I'm beginning to feel really safe because people seem to like it very much. Mm. It's number one in Italy, number one in Spain in the bestseller list. So I feel safe now. I shouldn't feel too safe, though.
How do you feel about translation, of writing in Spanish and seeing the work come to
You know, some of my books should have been written in English, and this is one of them. Because the action happens, in this case, in San Francisco to American people who speak English. I have to translate that in my mind to write it in Spanish. Plus, all the research is in English, and I have to translate it into Spanish. So I write my book, and then I give it to the translators who have to put it back into English. It's a silly process, but I don't feel that I can write fiction in English. I can write nonfiction in English, like a speech or an article for a newspaper. Mm-hmm. But fiction happens in the belly. I just can't do it in English.
And if you did it, you would feel that it's not authentic?
No, I would feel that the process would have to be filtered through dictionaries, and it would be much more in the brain than in the belly. I love the idea of writing without a plan, with no fear, just allowing the characters to express themselves, letting go of the control. If I'm writing in English, I would be trying to control the language, and it would be hard. It wouldn't be my voice, I think.
And you are confident in giving it to a translator that it remains your voice?
Well, my books are translated to 35 languages, plus they're pirated in some other languages that I don't even know. So I have no control over that. I just can't worry about it. I suppose that the story is conveyed in one way or another, sometimes well and sometimes not. But I have to trust that the translators and the editors will take care of that. In case of the English language, however, I have a little bit more control because the translators are kind enough to send me the translation, and I can read it carefully.
And then you'll make notes and
we'll talk back and forth.
Yeah. And ultimately, through that process of writing in Spanish, do you think that a Spanish audience gets a different experience?
No, I think that, I do have more readers in Spanish. That's obvious. But I think the experience is more or less the same. My husband speaks Spanish fluently, and he reads it, and he says that it's like reading another language. I mean, another book, because he doesn't hear my voice. Of course, we live together, and I talk to him in Spanish. So he feels that I am more me in Spanish than in English. Well, we make love in Spanish also, when we do, which is not that often.
Why did you decide to retire in the first place?
Well, it was a hard time. We have had a few problems in the family. And I felt tired. I felt that I had written everything I was supposed to write, and I was tired. But now I feel full of energy, and I started another book on January 8th, and I'm dying to go back home and continue writing.
And will you do something different, or will you go back to what you always wanted to, what you'd been writing before?
Well, I've written all kinds of genres. I've written historical novels, memoir, young adult books, family sagas, all kinds of stuff. So this experiment with a mystery is just one more experiment of the many I've done before. I like challenges. And I don't know what I'm going to write next. I started a few pages, but who knows where they will go.
When it comes to your writing and you look at your career, and I mentioned the novels, of course, The House of Spirits and City of the Beasts, what are you proudest of? What do you feel that you have accomplished as a writer?
The response of the readers, of my loyal readers for more than 30 years, 60 million readers, that is my greatest reward and the thing that astonishes me, that anywhere I go, I will find someone who has read something that I have written and will come to me. And so I feel connected to so many people. I get hundreds of messages daily from enthusiastic and kind readers.
And what do you think they connect with in you?
I think I write about people, relation and relationships, loss, suffering, I don't know, and also love and friendship and loyalty and so many redeeming things that life has. And I think that everybody feels that they can identify with a story or with the characters. And that, because I often get the message on email, for example, I get all the time someone saying, this family is like mine, or this character is like me, or let me tell you my story because I want you to write it. It's like the books you write. And then they proceed to tell me their whole lives. So I think that they identify with my books, and that's why they cherish them.
And do they see you, do you think, in the work and in the novels?
That I don't know. I hope not.
You don't want to be there?
No, I want them to be in love with the book and with the characters. I'm just the medium, the typist.
So they may think that you make love more than you actually do in real life.
Well, I shouldn't be saying this in the radio, actually. So don't ask that. My husband would not like that.
Just for the record, you brought it up.
I know.
When it comes to the ultimate of working with the readers and turning that book over, that process for you, is it terrifying or is it exciting?
No, the only terrifying part is the beginning when I start writing. It's the first 2, 3, 4 weeks when I'm trying to open that door into the story, and it's still very dark and blurred, and I don't know where I'm going, and I feel very insecure, until the characters come into the room and they become people and they talk to me and the story starts to unfold, I don't feel that I will be able to write it. I have learned in more than 30 years that if I show up every day and I stay long enough, I will be able to write it. I will be able to write no matter what, but I have to be patient. And that time is very scary. But once the book is finished, I send it to Spain to my agent and I forget about it completely because now it's out of my hands. I don't know, it luck, the goddesses, I don't know who will protect or not the book. And the readers might like it or not, and the critics might be vicious or not. You never know. And I can't control it.
Well, Isabel Allende's latest is Ripper. It is published by Harper. Isabel Allende, thank you so much for spending time with us. A great pleasure to have you join us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Take care, Joe.
We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Again, the title of the book is Ripper by Isabel Allende, published by Harper. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue. How can I trust you?